Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, world. Good morning to Trust the Tape. Good. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Trust the Tape. I'm not starting over. We're rolling. We're in. We're a one-take show. It doesn't change. Jeff Cavanaugh and Dane Brugler here with you. Trust the Tape 4.30.19 with the draft behind us. And Dane Brugler at DP Brugler on Twitter, because he's an animal, has already put out a 2020 mock draft, because why not?
Exactly. But why not?
We should probably deal with the 2019 draft first.
Yeah.
How would you prioritize those two, 2019 and 2020?
It's always important to look forward, but it's probably even more important to look back and see what happened, kind of assess the damage. It's kind of hard to believe it's all over. It's just, you work so hard on something, then all of a sudden one day it's gone. It's done. But looking back, I don't know. Do you want to just talk about what surprised you? Want to go team by team? Is there any draft class that really stood out to you as being exceptional or poor? And what were your reactions?
Two draft classes that led me to want to watch their teams play next year.
Okay. Arizona, one of them?
Arizona is one of them.
Okay.
And the other one is Baltimore. Man, I have turned into an OU homer. Yeah, so Arizona's draft, adding Kyler, and then totally ignoring that offensive line, which I guess in theory they've kind of addressed in free agency and trading, kind of. But that offensive line's still going to be awful. But now the guy taking the snaps can move. The head coach is probably going to scheme this up to get the ball out quicker, and they're going to put a bunch of receivers on the field. And they added a couple in the draft that are very intriguing to me. Plus, this is top of my head. I haven't opened my laptop yet. They got Byron Murphy in the second round too, right?
Yeah.
So I like Arizona's class, and it really makes me want to watch that offense, because I think they probably added a couple of receivers that you're going to see a lot of, along with Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald and a bunch of four wide receiver sets. So Arizona, I want to watch that team play. And, you know, their goal is to win football games. But my goal in the draft for every team that is not the one that I follow the closest is to entertain me. And so I think Arizona is going to entertain me. Mm. And that's very important.
No, I mean, I think Arizona did a nice job. But look, if you have the first pick in every round, you know, you earned that distinction. You better pick good players. And I think Arizona did.
You're supposed to do a nice job.
Right. And I think they did. I mean, they drafted six players from my top 100. I was not the biggest Hakeem Butler fan. Neither were you. But
neither
I think,
were they. And neither was anyone else.
In first pick in the fourth round, I think that's easy pick. I mean, I was surprised to see him last. I expected him to go somewhere in the third. But first pick in the fourth round, that's a pretty easy pick there. Andy Isabella was a little high, but, you know, we'll see how they use him. Zach Allen, good depth on defense. Deontay Thompson's got the knee. You know, we'll see how that works out for him long term. So overall, yeah, I mean, I think you have to really, Arizona had a lot of picks, and I thought, like, when I did my, I don't do grades, but what I do is I tried to power rank 1 through 32 just based off of draft halls, and Arizona was
You grade.
Yeah, kind of.
Just without a letter.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Arizona finished number 3, so really liked what they did. And as part of my power rankings, I did my favorite pick, the questionable pick, and then the day 3, who will surprise. And I'm going over questionable pick. I'm like, okay, well, what's the questionable pick? Like,
Don't you put that on Andy?
No, I mean, no. It's not Kyler. It's not Byron Murphy. It's not Andy. It's on day 3. I mean, Keyshawn Johnson in the 6th. Okay, I like that. Lamont Galliard in the 6th. Like it. Josh Myles. Like it. Michael Dogby. Like it. So I just went with Caleb Wilson. So if I'm telling you that the last pick, literally the last pick of the draft, is the most questionable of your draft
Mr.
class,
Irrelevant is not a great player.
And you did okay.
The other team that I think is going to do a great job of entertaining me on Sundays is the Baltimore Ravens, because they already had the quarterback who can make any running back work. Behind Lamar Jackson, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're not a terrible player, you get to average 5 yards a carry. Congrats. But now, with all those tight ends they'd built up, it's like, all right, this is what they're going to be. They're going to run it at you, and then right. they're dink it around to tight ends, and all the defense is going to walk forward. They're not going to be scared of you going up top. And then they said, all right, we're going to take Hollywood Brown at 25. We're going to take Miles Boykin, who can also fly at the end of the third. And we're going to take Justice Hill, who can also fly in
4-4-0.
So now they just brought in a whole track meet team to go with their punch you in the face offense.
Yeah.
And so with a whole offseason to actually design an offense instead of saying, hey, Flacco's hurt, we're going to create an offense in 3 days here. That team, I am excited to watch.
Agree. So, yeah. Baltimore.
Thanks.
Baltimore made my top 10. You have to really like what they did. Adding all that speed on offense. It's great that they added it, but I'm going to be more interested in see how they use it. Because, I mean, Lamar Jackson's not an accurate deep ball thrower.
Sir!
He's not. He's an explosive, exciting talent. There's no question. But he's not the best deep ball thrower. He has the arm strength. That's not the question. It's just accuracy and hitting his man. So we'll see how it works with Marquise Brown. I hope that's a talent that's not wasted there. Obviously, they'll be getting him the ball, jet sweeps, underneath stuff, and you know, let him use that explosiveness to create on his own. Jalen Ferguson, we'll see how that fits in that scheme. You mentioned Miles Boykin, Justice Hill, just speed in rounds 3 and 4. And I even in rounds 4 with Ben Powers, I think that's a good fit for that interior of that line. Dalen Mack fits that defensive front well. I mean, Trace McSorley, who, I don't know, I didn't think he was worth a draft pick, but I get it because of Baltimore's drafting differently than everybody else because of their scheme. They just have different needs. They have a different profile of what they're looking for at certain positions because of the way they're building that squad. And a lot of it has to do with Lamar Jackson. So Trace McSorley in the 6, I don't like it. I don't think he was a draftable quarterback, but I get it for them.
Well, do you want to just run through the rest of teams? Because we almost went alphabetical there. We only skipped Atlanta. We went Arizona and Baltimore. Do you want to go through your list of kind of how you thought everybody did in the draft?
Sure. I mean, we might skip a few, but we can go through them real quick.
Atlanta took a guard at 14. The only thing is, like, his tape is so rock solid
right.
that I know they didn't miss, and that's kind of important.
When I was doing Atlanta's grade or their ranking here, like, someone has to be towards the bottom, and Atlanta was, just because
McGarry at 31 seemed early.
Yeah, but the thing is if you want offensive linemen, you probably have to overdraft them. And they overdrafted Lindstrom compared to where he was likely going to go, but they felt confident he wasn't going to be there in the second round, which I get 100%. He probably wasn't going to be. So understand why they took Lindstrom there. He's probably my favorite pick of what they did. But McGarry, same thing. I mean, they had to overdraft him, and I don't know. First round seems awfully early for him. Kendall Sheffield, and those were only two picks they had in the top 100 picks. So that's one of the big reasons why I did not have Atlanta ranked pretty high. Kendall Sheffield in the 4th, you know, just has really no feel for how to play the position, but he's a premier athlete. So in the 4th round, totally understand taking a chance on that. And then I wasn't blown away by anything else they did on day 3. So Atlanta for me just... It wasn't. Now, I think they upgraded the offensive line, no question. And if Caleb McGarry can turn out to be Mitchell Schwartz type of right tackle, then it'll be warranted, that 31st overall pick. But at the same time, still wasn't blown away by what they did.
I'm going to guess Buffalo did not finish at the bottom, with Ed Oliver falling to him at 9, Cody Ford falling to him at 38, Devin Singletary at 74, I'll take that pick. Dawson Knox at 96, I'll take that pick. Tommy Sweeney, the Boston College tight end in the 7th. I'll take that pick.
Yeah. No, they did well. They were number 2 for me. I had them really high because I think they examined the possibility of moving up for Ed Oliver. They didn't have to. He fell to them. They looked at possibly moving up for Cody Ford. They didn't have to. He fell. So just tremendous value of where they landed those two guys. They got stronger in the trenches, which I think was exactly what they wanted to do. And then Devin Singletary, to me, you saw LeSean McCoy. And that's exactly who he joins in Buffalo. So that'll be a little bit of fun. Dawson Knox, the developmental tight end add to the mix, and even Voshon Joseph in the fifth. He was a top 100. He's a top 100 player on my board. I mean, there's some attitude issues there. There's needs to grow up a little bit and some things like that. But in the fifth round, yeah, bring him on my team. I'll take a chance.
I guess Carolina finished somewhere not at the bottom or the top for you. Burns in the middle of the first round seems right. Little at the top of the second seems right. Will Greer at the end of the third seems right. Christian Miller in the fourth seems right. Just kind of had a draft.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, now you have to talk for a second because I'm panicking. My laptop won't charge, and if it won't charge when I plug it into that wall over there, we got a real problem.
That will be a problem.
You use your words on Carolina.
You said middle, and that's exactly where they were. And I think you hit on it. I mean, they really, with that 16th overall pick, they...
It was just that outlet.
Okay, good.
It'll charge fine. Yeah, it'll charge fine.
They really considered Andre Dillard there because they wanted to get an offensive tackle. They wanted to get a pass rusher. And they decided that their best bet was to get the pass rusher first, which I agree with. They went Brian Burns. Then they came back in a second, traded up for Greg Little to get their tackle. So we'll see. If Greg Little turns out to be a franchise starting left tackle, which I think he has the capabilities of doing, it's just a matter of consistency and discipline with him. Carolina had a heck of a draft. Now, you know, Will Greer, pick 100. I get it. It's
great pick, Dane. Great pick.
I mean, Cam Newton's, he's banged up. Who knows? It's good to have a quality backup that you believe in. So no problem there. I thought Jordan Scarlett, the running back from Florida, they drafted a little early compared to the other running backs that were still available. Christian Miller in the fourth. Yeah, I like the value there. We'll see how they use him in Carolina's scheme. Is he getting more of a Sam? Are they going to put him and let him, you know, be a nickel rusher? I don't know. We'll see how they use Christian Miller. That'll be interesting. But overall, yeah, Carolina, I thought middle of the pack, solid draft. Reasons to be encouraged if you're a Carolina fan.
The Chicago Bears don't have very many picks here, but I like their first two, except for I don't like the way that NFL.com's draft tracker has named them, because David Montgomery in the third round of the Iowa State back, I love that.
Oh, yeah.
And then it does not say here that they picked Riley Ridley from Georgia. It says they picked Calvin, except they left the L out. So they picked Calvin Ridley in the fourth. Well,
that's his real name.
That's Riley Ridley's real name?
That's okay. His real name, man.
Why doesn't he...
But he changed it, or he goes by Riley, his middle name.
Why did they name him the same as their previous child, except drop one letter?
That's what Riley was saying to himself, and that's why he dropped his first name and went with Riley to avoid any confusion.
I would like to apologize to NFL.com. I thought I was taking a shot at them for being stupid, but I'm the idiot.
No, that's why you have the Beast, because the Beast tells you that.
That's true. Their last three picks you're going to have to tell me about, but their first two picks, I'll take it.
Yeah, and I didn't have Chicago highly ranked just because they didn't have a first or second round pick, but you have to really like how they maximized the draft assets that they had. Yeah, I mean, David Montgomery, they traded up for, and when I was doing my second and third round mock on Thursday night after the first round, I had a little birdie told me to force the Chicago-Montgomery pairing in the second round or in the third round, so I did. And turns out that they saw the chance to go get him, and they did.
That is a fun backfield.
Him and
Tariq Cohen.
The two guys that can catch the ball, we'll see how they use Cohen, but Montgomery... They're going to give him the ball early and often. Duke Shelley, undersized corner. I really worry about the size. That's why I didn't have him highly ranked. But he was productive when he was on the field, so I get that pick. White, the running back from FAU, was in the shadow of Devin Singletary. But he had a high yards per carry average when he had the chance. And I think he had over 800 yards this past year as a backup. He has two kick return for touchdowns, the only two in FAU history. And then the other seventh rounder, Steven Denmark, one of my favorite sleeper picks in the entire draft. Wide receiver turned corner, 6'2 and a half, 220 pounds, 4.4 speed, just type of traits that you want to bet on in the seventh round.
The Bengals are going to have a good depth chart at running back, Dane, because they have really good starter. And in the sixth round, I guess they just ran into too much value to ever pass one up.
Yeah.
Because Travion Williams and Rodney Anderson from Oklahoma there in the sixth round, that's a lot going on in that backfield, but they're good players. I don't know how you work that when I'm pretty sure Mixon's playing 80% of the time.
Right.
So good luck figuring out how to get on the field, boys. But Jonah Williams at 11, I love. Drew Sample, the tight end from Washington at 20.
A little early.
I thought that I loved him.
Yeah, so did same here.
When I watched his tape, right. I was like, oh, man, nobody's talking about this guy. He's like a fourth rounder.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe even into the third.
Yeah.
And then they picked him in the second, and I didn't know if I was like, yeah,
right.
I liked him too. Or if it was, oh, that's even more
That's kind of how I felt about Darnell Savage. You know, like
I liked him.
Yeah, I really liked him. But ooh, first DB off the board. Huh. Okay. Interesting. Okay. But no, I think you nailed it on Sample, because he's a true wide tight end. He can run routes, he can block, you know, he can do whatever you want him to do. And so I certainly understand the value, and Cincinnati just must have felt like, we don't want to risk losing him in the third. But then they came back in the third and they got a really good linebacker in Jermaine Pratt. So that was my favorite pick of maybe what they did. And I love Jonah Williams, but Jermaine Pratt in the third might have been my favorite pick, because they really wanted that three down linebacker. And I think Pratt has that type of ability. Rinnell Wren in the fourth, Michael Jordan the fourth. I mean, the Bengals really did a nice job maximizing each pick. And like you said, there was running backs in the sixth. I don't know how
that works. Well, I guess Rodney will get hurt. Right. One.
But yeah, so you take the chance on those guys. I mean, two really productive runners who have a lot of talent, who should not have been available in the sixth. Rodney because of injuries, and Travion Williams, I don't know why. I have no answer for you why he was still available in the sixth round.
Having three different seasons out of four ended by injury. That's about it, right? That's all you can really point to.
But Travion Williams, why? Rodney Anderson, I understand. But Travion Williams, I don't know why he was still there in the six. I don't have a good answer for why. I mean, he's not an amazing. He wasn't a first. I don't think he was a top three round back.
Right.
But fourth neither. Or fifth round, some of these other running backs that went ahead of him, that was a little surprising.
The Cleveland Browns, I like what they did only because John Dorsey and I are the ones who, in the fifth round, when Mac Wilson's still on the board, we're like, guys, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if it's his attitude and he's the worst person of all time, but it is the fifth round. We are taking Mac Wilson.
Yeah.
We are getting a really good linebacker. And Greedy Williams at 46 overall. My guy Taki Taki at 80 from BYU. I like what Cleveland did. I will predict they finished in the middle to upper middle of your rankings.
Because they didn't have the first round pick, and I wasn't as high on Taki Taki as you. Did you have a third round grade on him?
Yeah, it's third or fourth.
Okay,
but like yeah, I had a like 3-4, maybe it was a 4.
I think I had a fifth on him.
What a hater!
I worry about him being a little bit of a tweener, you know, because he was like an edge rusher earlier in his career. Then he played a little Mike, played a little Sam, or played a little Will. I mean, so he can do a lot of things. He just seemed like a little bit of a tweener where I don't know where his best position is.
I just really like the value of the Greedy Williams and the Mac Wilson pick.
There's no question. I mean, Greedy Williams at 46 was easily the best pick that they made. If you want to include Drew Forbes, my SEMO left tackle, in the sixth. I thought that was an outstanding pick as well. But so yeah, the Browns did well. There's no question.
Dallas Cowboys, I will predict they finished towards the bottom of your rankings.
31. Overdrafted
their first pick.
Yes.
I actually really like their second pick.
Agreed.
Overdrafted Tony Pollard, and then lost a player they wanted because they drafted Tony Pollard. In the wrong order in the fourth.
Well, yeah, and the context there is they had two fourth round picks very close together within 10 picks. And so they had to decide who we drafting first, who we drafting second. They went with Pollard, the running back, who
They should have gone Isaiah Johnson and then eight picks later, Tony Pollard. Instead, they prioritized Pollard and Isaiah Johnson went on the next pick. Tony Pollard was not going to go in the next seven picks.
We'll never know for sure, but I'll bet a lot of money that Pollard was not going to be off the board in that span. So, yeah, they missed out on Isaiah Johnson. Maybe Isaiah Johnson will turn out to be nothing, but if he turns out to be something, they're going to be kicking themselves because I don't think Dallas did a very good job. Unfortunately,
they got two backup running backs and their three technique and a starting guard for a year from now.
Yeah. I mean, this is not a great three technique class, and they were desperate to get theirs. And so they passed several players that were higher ranked on their board to go at Tristan Hill. And we'll see how it plays out. If Tristan Hill becomes a really productive upfield player for them,
they did good.
Yeah. Then, you know, it'll work out. It doesn't really matter. But, that's a big if. You know, we'll see how it plays out.
Denver Broncos. Noah Fant at 20. That's about right. Risner at 41. That's probably about right.
Yeah, my 46th player. So, yeah, right there.
Drew Locke falling in your lap at 42. That's nice. I actually think Draymond Jones in the third is about right. Mm-hmm. Some people might think that's a steal. I think that was about right. I will predict that they ended in the middle to lower middle for you.
They were top 10.
Because the Drew Lock value?
Well, I mean, all the value. I thought, you know, they drafted four players in my top 100. They got good value they did what I thought the Cowboys should have did, where Denver went with... They got an extra pick in the top 100. They went with more quality than quantity. Yes, Dallas had two more draft picks in the later rounds, but Denver had higher picks, and they went with Risner, who's going to start from day one at right guard. Drew Lock, yeah, take a chance on a quarterback in the second round. Draymond Jones is going to add to the rotation. So, I really like Justin Hollins in the fifth, and Juwan Winfrey in the seventh or in the sixth. So really like what Denver did.
I'm kind of pot committed here. We're going to get through the whole NFL. You ready?
Let's do it.
Turbo mode it. Detroit Lions. Hockenson at eight is really early, but in this class it makes sense, even though he's a tight end. I get it. Your guy Tavai, that was early. I
love it.
Say. Will Harris, My guy Orawari in the fifth, yeah. Isaac Nauta in the seventh, yeah. Detroit did okay.
Yeah, I love what they did. They were top five for me. Woo! I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the Penn State corner, but in the fifth round, you kidding me? That's a steal. I really like Travis Fulgham, the wide receiver from Old Dominion in the sixth. That's another steal. And then Austin Bryant in the fourth, kind of the forgotten Clemson defensive lineman. That guy can play. So I really like what Detroit did throughout their draft.
Green Bay, Darnell Savage is the first DB off the board. Might be early, but when your haul is Rashawn Gary, Darnell Savage, Elgton Jenkins, the center, Jay Sternberger, Kingsley Kiki, Kadar Hallman from Toledo, Dexter Williams in the late sixth, yeah. Dexter Williams, the running back from Notre Dame, Ty Summers, linebacker from TCU, they should be in your top five.
Because I didn't love their value in the first round, I knocked them down.
Him.
Yeah, for me personally, because I thought they...
Gary and Savage, that was early on both of them.
I thought there were some better players there. Like, but, you know, I'd rather have Brian Burns at 12 and one of the other DBs at 20. But I like those two players. I like Gary. I like Savage. I just thought they were both taken ahead of some better players. But my favorite pick for Green Bay is probably Jenkins in the second round, a guy that played every position on the offensive line.
He's a good center.
Yeah. Well,
what's he going to do in Green Bay? Is he going to be the center? He's a good,
no,
good center.
I think Corey Linsley is pretty good there, so I think they'll probably play him a guard, yeah. But the fact is that they can play him anywhere because of the versatility, and he's going to provide immediate depth.
Houston. They got hurt in their first-round pick. They got hurt when Philly jumped them and took Andre Dillard, and then they immediately took Titus Howard, Alabama State. I get it.
I don't know if they'll admit it, you know, and say
that's
like
early.
I don't know if they'll admit it and say like, yeah, we were okay with Howard just as well as, you know, Dillard, man.
No, they wanted Andre Dillard.
Philadelphia
would think so. They got him.
And I didn't love Lonnie Johnson in the second round. I don't know. He was a fourth-round player to me. Max Sherping, I love in the second round, was a good pick.
Warring
was
nice.
A great pick. Menihu.
In the fifth? Okay.
Yeah, in the fifth is okay. He's just not a very good player. But I overall, just not a huge fan of what Houston did. And it starts with that first round pick. They had a chance to go get Andre Dillard. The Eagles, that's the difference between the Eagles and the Texans. The Eagles saw a chance to go get a player, and they did.
Yep.
Texans stayed put, and what happened? You run the risk of losing out on a player when you're just a little ultra-conservative.
Indianapolis, I thought, was kind of up and down with the value going.
Good way to put it.
Like, Rakia Sin in the early second, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Their next pick seemed early.
It's traits and production, like, and it's hard. I get it. You bet on traits. You bet on production. I don't know. I just wasn't blown away by anything that he put together on tape at the Senior Bowl.
And that's the TCU edge.
Ben Bonigo.
I wanted to like him more than I liked him.
Yeah, I'm same way.
Paris Campbell late in the second. Okay,
he was a top 50 player for me, so I love it.
Okereke in the third.
All right.
Okay. Kari Willis in the fourth.
Yeah. A little early.
Marvell Tell in the fifth. Okay. I'm going to predict that you did not have them towards the top.
Yeah, they were late teens around there. Didn't love what they did, but, you know, with three second-round picks, you know, we'll see how it plays out for them. Didn't love what they did, but Chris Ballard's a smart guy, so I think they did all right.
I think you'll have Jacksonville ahead of them. Josh Allen falling to you at 7. Juwan Taylor in the second round. Josh Oliver in the third. That's a pretty good start.
That's a great start. Juwan Taylor, just all about that knee. That's why he fell. And Jacksonville, I think they probably at one point were considering Juwan Taylor at 7. So, but with the knee injury, that's what knocked him down. And I'm sure they were not upset to see him available there.
I like what Kansas City did. Hardman from Georgia, that might be early at 56 overall, but we know darn well what they're doing there.
Who would have guessed?
They're replacing Tyreek Hill with Tyreek Hill Light.
Who would have guessed Mecole Hardman ahead of DK Metcalf?
Not me.
That was a big surprise.
And
but,
I love Mecole Hardman. Right. Juan Thornhill at 63 overall, that's good. Kalen Saunders at 84, that's good. Darwin Thompson, the Utah State. So they got Tyreek Hill Light and Tariq Cohen Light in the same draft to put with... We refer to Pat Mahomes as future GOAT. Okay. So future GOAT now has a couple new toys to play with. I like what they did.
Mm-hmm. I agree. No, that sums it up well. They added a lot of speed, and if Tyreek Hill is no longer on the roster, which it could happen at any point, then I think they did a nice job to at least try to address that hole.
Chargers. Tillery at 28, I think that's the right value.
Yeah.
You know about the... concerns about him more than I do. I just know that on tape, he should go 10 to 15 picks higher.
Mm-hmm.
So 28 is just fine. Nasir Adderley at 60.
Love it.
Is really good.
That's the Chargers last year. They waited for the safety and they got lucky. Derwin James fell in their lap. Same thing this year with Nasir Adderley. Now those two guys, that's going to be a dynamic safety duo, at least has a potential to be one.
Next, we go to the LA Rams. Taylor Rapp at 61.
I mean, come on.
Taylor Rapp's so good at football.
How'd the NFL let that happen?
Daryl Henderson at 70. That's fine.
What's that say about Todd Gurley?
I think it says that they think they need to limit him because his knee's going to be a problem his entire career.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I think that says. David Long in the third. I'm good with that.
Heck yeah.
Bobby Evans in the third.
Not bad.
I'm good with that. Greg Gaines in the fourth. I'm good with that. So, yep, I like what L.A. did.
I think the Rams had a better draft than I gave them credit for. It was pretty good.
Where'd you put them?
Not high, but that's pretty good. I like what they did.
Hater. Miami Dolphins.
Number 32.
Oh, no. Wilkins at 13. Maybe a little bit early, but if you wanted
solid player,
a D-tackle, that's the guy you take. Dieter from Wisconsin in the third. It's probably about right. And the rest is very underwhelming, but hey, it's a fifth, sixth, and... couple of seventh round picks.
Yeah, I thought they overdrafted most of what they did, except for Miles Gaskin in the seventh. That was a pretty solid pick. Minnesota.
Minnesota nailed their first round pick. Garrett Bradbury.
Love it.
NC State center. He's a monster. Irv Smith at 50. That's a good pick.
Good value.
Madison, the Boise State back, I thought was early in the third.
So did I, but I get it. I mean, he can do a little bit of everything. He can catch a ball in the backfield. He's still very young.
Tough.
Runs physical, runs hard. So I get why they went there. Surprised he went ahead of some other running backs, but I get it.
Drew Samia from Oklahoma.
Good value.
Is good value. You can give me some of the other guys what you thought about him, but I think Dylan Mitchell in the seventh.
Yeah.
I like that value, the Oregon receiver.
And that was mostly character stuff. He's just an immature kid, and that's teams wanted to stay away. But they got good value in the sixth with Armand Watts from Arkansas, Chris Boyd from Texas, Udo, an offensive lineman from Elon. So Minnesota, they got some good quality at the top, but they also had some good quantity. They had 10 draft picks? 12 draft picks. I don't know if you want to include a long snapper as a draft pick, though.
No, well, yeah, that's a great point, Dane.
Yes.
Great point. Now, where can I read about that?
New England.
New England. N'Keal Harry at 32 is not the receiver I would have taken there, but okay, if that's the one you want, go ahead.
He'll be an all-pro in New England.
Probably. Although their history of picking wide receivers is not a good one.
Very true.
Jawan Williams in the second. That's fine. Chase Winovich in the third. Oh, what a pick. What a pick, Dane. Winovich. Damian Harris in the third is fine. Froholt in the fourth and Yadni Kajust in the third. So some offensive line there. And Stidham at the end of four. That might end up being good value if he ends up being the next guy.
In 3 years, someone will trade a second round pick for Jarrett Stidham. It's coming.
That's the way it goes, right? The New Orleans Saints.
Love what they did considering they had zero, they didn't have much draft capital to work with going into the draft.
And they picked a starting center off the top.
That's
Eric McCoy, Texas A&M. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in the fourth round. That's a starting caliber player.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody likes the person.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Notre Dame tight end Mac in the seventh and the other two guys.
And Caden Ellis in the seventh. That's love taking a gamble on those traits because he's just a fun player to watch, you know, go hunt. He's has speed, has power. At worst, special teams guys, so good value in the seventh for the Saints.
I'm curious where you put the Giants because it's all going to hinge on what Daniel Jones is.
He's pretty low
quarterback.
Yeah,
Dexter Lawrence. I think that was early in terms of value. DeAndre Baker. I think that was right on, right there at the very end of the first. Julian Love in the fourth. I like.
That was my favorite pick that they made.
You probably like Darius Slayton at the end of the fifth.
That might have been my favorite pick that they made.
So up and down, they have a guy who already got shot.
Yeah,
Corey Ballantyne, which I said that, and it sounds really insensitive. I should probably read the story and make sure he's okay.
But sounds like he's going to make a full recovery. His teammate, former teammate at Washburn, passed away, unfortunately. And we'll have to see when more details come out about that one. Just an unfortunate situation all around.
Jets, not bad for the picks they had.
It's going to be, I mean, except for Quinnen Williams, like that was safe, high floor, high ceiling.
And then Jachai Polite.
And it's risky.
A really big swing.
Same Udoga, with Udoga. Same
the tackle
thing.
From USC is a big swing.
Big swing with guys that are, they're talented guys who have discount stickers on them for various reasons. And if they hit, then it's going to turn out to be great picks. But, you know, they could just as easily go the other way.
Linebacker Cashman in the fifth is some nice value.
Wesco in the fourth, too. I like that as well. I mean, Wesco is going to be a better pro than he was in college. Just the way that West Virginia used him, kind of like Dawson Knox at Ole Miss, just kind of wasted him.
The Raiders. They started off overdrafting somebody. Then they picked a good running back.
Yeah. Good safety.
They picked a good, strong safety. Corner in the second. Trayvon Mullen might have been early.
Well, especially considering the other corners that were available. Like, they drafted him at 40 overall.
Yeah.
There were a lot.
Brady's on the board.
Yeah. There were quite a few corners that were still there that they could have gone.
Eastern Michigan, Max Crosby Edge in the
Love
fourth.
It.
Isaiah Johnson in the late fourth.
Love
Foster
it.
Moreau as a comp four, the tight end from LSU.
Good
Hunter
pick.
Renfro in the fifth. They had a good draft.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to take into account the fact that they took Cleveland Farrell at four instead of getting proper value, which, you know, if they, at one hand.
Surely they tried, right? Like, they had to try to move down and couldn't get out. Because I was reading that apparently Mayock was in their simulations,
right. Moving
down to 13, but that would be Miami coming up for a quarterback.
Mm.
So when Miami says, no, we're good here, we don't want to move up, like, maybe you're just stuck.
And that's a very valid point. I think on one hand, you respect that, just take the guy that you want and stay true to your evaluation. On the other hand, if they did have an offer, even if it was a lowball offer, like a third-round pick to move back 10 spots, like you still have to take it because no one's going to take your guy there. But, it is what it is. Considering they didn't get proper value at the top, I thought they did have a pretty good draft.
Eagles. I like what they did for only having five picks.
I agree.
Andre Diller jumping Houston for him. I think that's a great move by
Howie
them.
Roseman.
Miles Sanders in the
Solid. Mid
to late second, I think, is a really good pick. And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside at the end of two, that's probably about the right spot, but he's a good player.
Yeah.
And then Sharif Miller and Clayton Thorson. But those first three picks, I like what they did.
Yeah, the Eagles are a better team. And they if you're looking at, we'll get to Washington here in a second, but you look at the NFC East teams, I thought Dallas and New York didn't do so hot. Philadelphia and Washington did a nice job. So, but we'll see how it plays out.
Pittsburgh went up for Devin Bush at number 10.
Love it. I mean, that's
they've been needing something since Shazier.
That's it. I mean, they went and got the best linebacker in the draft, in my opinion. I just, if I'm an AFC North team, I hated to see Pittsburgh make that move. They just got a lot better on defense.
You also hated to see them get my guy Deontay Johnson in the early three. Let's go, Toledo.
Anytime the Steelers draft a receiver on day two, you kind of, your ears perk up and, oh, really?
He's going to go route people up. It's going to be glorious.
Well, then they got tremendous value at their third.
Justin Lane.
Next pick.
At pick 83. Why couldn't he make it to 90? Well, I like what happened at 90. Benny Snell, the running back from Kentucky in the fourth.
He fits the Steelers, you know?
Yeah. Zach Gentry, tight end, Michigan in the fifth. Isaiah Bugs in the sixth. Sutton Smith in the sixth. They, I will say, had a nice draft.
Yeah, they did. They did a nice job.
San Francisco 49ers. Nick Bosa. He'll probably be okay.
Home run.
Deebo Samuel.
Like it.
Jalen Hurd.
That was interesting that because they already, after drafting Deebo Samuel, they had a pretty crowded wide receiver depth chart. So surprising they went with Hurd, but I mean, I get it. He's a do-everything type of guy, slot. You want to put him outside. You want to put him in the backfield. Like, I'm very, very interested to see how they end up using him because if they use that versatility at its peak, then Hurd could be that mismatch weapon that defenses just don't know how to game plan for.
Then a punter. Then my guy, Dre Greenlaw, Arkansas. Then my guy, Caden Smith, the tight end from Stanford. I will say, not a bad job by the San Francisco 49ers.
Not bad.
So far, only the Dallas Cowboys have done a bad job. Let's see. Seattle, LJ Collier, who, if you listen to Trust the Tape, in our final mock, we had him at 27.
We did.
He went 29, the TCU defensive end, which, thoroughly, but I like his tape.
Yeah, he's, I don't know, it's hard to make what to make of LJ Collier because he's an older guy. He's a one-year starter, only 10 starts at the college level.
He does play like a Seahawk, though.
Well, that's
like he's kind of a straight arm, power, right through
Michael
your chest
Bennett,
kind of guy.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's important to factor in the team that's drafting because he fits exactly what Seattle wants to do. So, you know, was it early for other teams? Yeah, but it fits exactly what Seattle wanted. So, 100% understand.
Marquise Blair at 47, the safety out of Utah. That seems early.
That was early.
Made up for it with DK Metcalf at 64.
Yeah. How does that happen?
Gary Jennings, Cody Barton.
Love it. Love Phil Haynes in the fourth.
Ugo Amadi in the fourth. Ben Burkervin in the fifth, I love.
Yep, good pick.
Travis Homer in the sixth. DeMarcus Christmas, John Ursua. Seattle, let me rethink of what about I like at the top. I'd put them in the middle of the road with the draft because those first two, I think, were overdrafted, even if you like the players.
Agree.
Tampa Bay. Devin White at 5. Everyone knew that was happening.
Good
Sean
pick.
Bunting in the second.
Love that.
Jamel Dean at the end of 3. So they doubled down on corner.
Which they did in the second round or on the second day of the draft last year. So that was interesting.
Mike Edwards and Anthony Nelson. I think those are solid.
Good picks.
Punter. No, kicker. Sorry. No, the kicker.
Tampa Bay's got a great track record of drafting kickers.
Yeah. Well, at least this one they picked later.
True.
So if he flops, it won't be as bad as the last one. Scott Miller out of Bowling Green and Terry Beckner from Missouri. Where'd you put them?
Where did I put them? Fairly high in the early teens, I think. Yeah, 11.
Okay. Tennessee. Jeffrey Simmons at 19.
I love what Tennessee did.
I thought he was going to be perfect for the Dolphins to tank. But
yeah, he was.
He was at 19. A.J. Brown at 51 is great.
If Christian Wilkins wasn't there, they'd probably take Simmons, but no.
A.J. Brown? Davis out of Charlotte.
Gosh, man, how was A.J. Brown fall out of the top 50 pick?
I don't know. No Ole Miss receiver in the top 50.
Crazy. And DeMarcus Lodge, he didn't get drafted, right?
No, he didn't.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, blame the coach. Maybe let him run routes next year.
Nate Davis is a good pick in the top 100. Yeah. Amani Hooker, love it. DeAndre Walker, his medicals must have been worse than
that's a really good pick.
We knew because, I mean, the fifth round, are you kidding me? It's easy.
And finally, the Washington Redskins.
Number one on my power rankings.
They had a gift at 15 fall in their lap, who they probably were thinking about going up for and didn't have to. Then Montez Sweat making it to 26 made it easy for them to say, let's package a couple of twos and go get him. Terry McLaurin in the third is probably about right. Bryce Love in the fourth is about right. Your guy Cole Holcomb at the end of 5. Kelvin Harmon at the end of 6.
Jimmy Moreland. Gosh, I love what Washington did.
Washington had a good draft. For an inept franchise, they did a good job of picking players.
Well, that's the thing. As much flack as we give Bruce Allen and everyone else in that organization, whoever's running that draft.
Dan Snyder's quite the evaluator if he was making all the picks.
Maybe they brought Scott McLuhan back for a day.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to sneak in? Because that's a nice way to fill a Trust the Tape episode, just to recap it.
Yeah, no, it went well. I mean, I think we reviewed everything. 2020 mock draft, just a quick preview of that. You can find the full 32 picks on The Athletic.
I'll take Jerry Jeudy, please.
Yeah, he was in the top, 6 or 7 picks. Grant Delpit from LSU is a big-time player.
Take him, too.
Chase Young from Ohio State. AJ Epenesa from Iowa. Iowa's got a couple guys. They're right tackle, man. Check him out. He's legit. Quarterbacks, Justin Herbert and Tua, they're up there. And so there's going to be some talented wide receivers next year's draft. Jalen Reagor from TCU.
Is Jake Fromm in the consideration of a first-round pick if this year goes well?
Yeah, well, it all depends on how this year goes. But I included him to the Chargers at like 20, okay, in the 20s somewhere. Because he just, I don't know, it feels like he's just so protected by that scheme. Like, he's just not asked to make any challenging throws or make plays out of structure consistently. It's just all the routes are there for him. It's a strong run game, good protection. So I feel like we don't know enough about Jake Fromm to accurately say what he's going to be. Because he doesn't have many physical traits that make you sit up in your seat and go, okay, wow, like Justin Herbert does. So he has a shot, but there's some interesting names on here, so go check it out.
All right, everybody, check that out on The Athletic. At DP Brugler on Twitter is Dane. At JC1053 is me on the Twitter. But it's all about my Facebook page, really. Just making
sure reason I'm here.
You like my Facebook page, Jeff Cavanaugh. That's the most important thing you can do today. 5-star review this thing, or we will crawl through your bandwidth and do a Trust the Tape episode in your living room. That's a threat. So thanks for listening. We'll see you when we see you.
Yes.
On Trust the Tape.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.